Hey everyone, you're listening to the Reality Talk Show. I'm Ganesh Sharma.
I'm Naveen Kumar.
And I'm Praneet Kumar.
Awesome interviews. No. Hey everyone, welcome to the Reality Talk Show. I'm your host Ganesh Sharma, and with me are my co-hosts Naveen and Praneet. Hello guys.
Hey, how are you?
We have a special guest today. Today's guest is Kanchanaganga. She is a supergirl from Mysore. She is a biker, a yoga teacher, a social media influencer. Now, she's got an amazing concept of biking for a cause, and this concept really blew my mind. In fact, she and her group has chalked out a list of subjects related to women and women-related issues, and they've rallied with the troop to spread awareness. Interesting fact that she's first started riding her father's Yes the Java bike, and now she owns an Avenger cruiser.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Java.
Right?
I love that bike.
Yep. And when it comes to yoga, YouTube videos are very amazing. She has demonstrated her own form of yoga in the year 2013 called the Contemporary Yoga, which is a combination of yogasanas and contemporary dance. And this person amazes me more and more. During the lockdown also, she has kept her friends and Instagram audience engaged with various activities and workouts. Kanchana, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Hi, everybody.
How are you doing? How is the lockdown treating you?
I'm doing quite well. Well, the lockdown was really amazing because I could do a lot of things which I was not able to do during my everyday activity, like my work and stuff. And frankly, I have become quite lazy. So getting back to work is going to be really hard for me.
It's really hard to believe that you became lazy because you've engaged with your audience quite a lot with yoga tips, and you were having quite meaningful conversation on Instagram Live, and that was really amazing.
Yeah, all those have been all mobile. So talking active lifestyle, there is where I've become lazy. But screen time, I'm active. Yes.
That's really nice. Kanchana, the first question for you is, what got you into biking first? What is the thing that attracted you in the very beginning towards biking?
So I always had an interest towards bike. My dad was a biker. He is a biker. So I always had a thing for it. But what actually pushed me or provoked me was a very small incident which happened to me. I asked a friend of mine to take me to McDonald's to have burger. Back then in Mysore, we didn't have McDonald's. So I used to love their veg cheeseburgers. He said no. And I sort of somewhere felt hurt. And I felt some might call it ego, but I would call it self-respect. I felt that got hurt. And I felt like if I had my own bike, I would not have to ask anyone to take me anywhere. I could go where I want and do what I want on the bike. So that was the point which pushed me to have my own bike.
What made you choose Avenger bike of all the other bikes?
Yeah, so I am 5. So I come under the height of cuteness, I would say. So I tried a lot of bikes. Nothing was very, very comfortable for me. So the first time when I sat on Avenger, I felt like I was in heaven. It's super comfortable, and also it doesn't hurt my back when I go on long rides. So that has been a major plus point for me because my back is straight. The seating position is very, very comfortable. Hence Avenger.
Yeah, have you tried any other bikes apart from Avenger?
I've tried a lot of bikes. I've tried cruisers, I've tried sports bikes, I've tried Harley, I've tried BMW, Pulsars, KTMs. Bullet also, but nothing gave me comfort as much as Avenger did.
Okay, yeah. Avenger is a good bike, actually. It's really good. I was
close to buying that bike, actually, when I went for that bike.
You ended up buying
Dominar.
Yeah, if Dominar's engine would be attached to my Avenger, then I don't think so. Anything could stop me from roaming India.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's a good crossover, though.
We'll start. It's the same Bajaj.
It's Bajaj.
Yeah.
It is Bajaj, though, but Indians are different. Performance is different.
Pitch them this idea.
You're a KTM dude, so okay. I'm not going to intervene. I'm
on KTM.
Yeah. Which are the places that you have biked so far within India?
Well, so in India, I've covered almost all cities all major cities in all the states apart from Northeast. So Northeast was in a short-term plan of mine, which would be around this year, actually. But yeah, I've covered almost all states. And before last year, I did Leh solo also. So that was one of the checklists done for me.
How was the experience of Leh Ladakh?
Amazing. It was really beautiful. People are overly, people are very warm. They are very friendly, especially the local Ladakhis, you know. They are very helpful. And it was really nice. I actually took a couple of notes from my friends who had gone in the past. But it didn't really add up because they had gone in, I think, 2014. And from then and now, it has become more commercialized. So I would say if you guys are planning, then go ASAP because, of course, not right now. But yeah, because things are getting too commercialized and you don't get that feel of nature anymore. You got to go more interiors if you have to get those.
What was the maximum distance you have ridden?
In a day or...
In a day,
I've covered about 1,000 kilometers. But the farthest I've gone would be like from Mysore to Rajasthan on bike.
Oh my God, your back must have killed you.
Yeah.
So that's the reason she said Avenger is comfortable and
but
it doesn't.
But did you use your Avenger?
Yeah, on Avenger only.
Oh, that's awesome.
So just a curious question. What's the meter reading on your Avenger bike as of now?
Good one.
Okay, so I have actually changed 3 odometers. So I've covered post 130,000 by now.
Wow, oh my God.
I don't even think my whole life I would do that with my bike.
I feel it's really less for 8 years.
Oh, no, that's actually a good count. I mean, like, really nice.
Thank you.
Which was the first trip you took with your new Avenger?
The first trip I went on Avenger, I would say my house to Chamundi Betta with my mom to take the blessings of the goddess. I would actually say that would be my first because I was really, really new and my dad wouldn't let me take out for long and that would be the long ride for me back then.
Female riders versus male riders. What is the major... Yeah. Difference that you feel is between these set of groups?
Okay, so I'm going to touch a lot of touchy points when I'm going to talk about this because I'm in a group with a lot of guys who feel like, who will not call me as a female rider but just as a rider. But I always tell them, what I have faced as a female, you guys have not faced it. In your house, there was nobody telling you you cannot ride a bike because you are a guy, which has happened to me. I've had questions coming to me, you're a girl, how can you ride a bike? This is not what girls do. So these are certain things that a man does not face. And also adding to this, that every girl goes through the menstrual cycle of every month where we face problems during rides. We are not going to put placards on our, bikes and roam around saying, hey, I'm on my period, so you're not, so I'm better. So these are things that, actually guys need to, men, they need to understand why a woman are usually given a little special preference in any field because we go through a lot. These hurdles that normal men don't face, of course, there are challenges even guys face, but not like how we women do. A lot of these obstacles that we have to come over to get what we want. It's like one jump for you, but it's 3-4 jumps for us.
Yes, I completely understand. Even till today, when a girl rides, Royal Enfield or something, people still turn around and see. I think it's that people still do normalize women riding bikes. So over time, maybe it will change and, people, the stigma will go away.
Yeah, I think especially in country like India, where these bikes are majorly... considered as the masculine thing.
They're marketed for
men. Yeah, in a way, it's like that. I've never seen, at least till a few years, I've never seen any commercial of these bikes showing women riding these bikes. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the impression that has been created and this is what makes people think in a certain way. Because marketing and branding, it's all about that, right? That is what the visual appeal is what people tend to believe. What's been shown on television. So that could be one of the major facts. Kanchan, I have another question for you. So when you go on solo drives, there might be situations where you might face a technical breakdown within your motorcycle, your bike that you're traveling in. How do you handle such situations? Are you trained to fix certain parts or your own in case if you face an issue as such, where there is no accessibility to any mechanic technician as such.
Yeah. So with God's grace or my good karma, I don't know, I have not come across a situation where I have a major breakdown. But I did face engine breakdown once. I did go through the clutch, my clutch cable broke off. I have an extra clutch cable which I can fix. I have learned very minute, like I would say like 1% of the mechanism of the bike, if something happens, what I can do with it. But yeah, luckily it has not happened to me. And I think that's one of the fears that every solo rider has, whether, you know, a guy or a girl. If the bike breaks down and you don't have tools to fix it, then you're stuck over there for a long time until you get help. But yeah, I know only 1%, and that has helped me with the clutch cable once. And yeah, the other time I had a little leak in the engine oil, which also I fixed with very quick. That's a little funny thing, but yeah, I just got it running as far as I could take it to the mechanic.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Right. So what else do you carry with you other than your clutch cable? Do you carry something like coolants or petrol with you?
On long rides when I'm going, yes, I have petrol with me. I have oil with me, because sometimes you'll not have spares. My clutch cable is always added. My brakes are extra. Liners are added. I have few nuts and bolts along with it, and also spark plug. So even this is very important. You'll get it. I mean, mechanics are there to fix it, but you'll not have parts. So I carry parts with me. And yeah, tubes, of course, the tires, the tubes.
In remote locations like these, it is very hard to find spare parts. Maybe they might not have. So that's an issue.
We were doing Sipi. So there's a place called Kaza. So over there you have the last mechanic. So I think you'll find him after like some 300-400 kilometers. And he's the one and only. And after that, again, for next 600 kilometers, you have nobody. So he'll fix it. But again, many times he doesn't have parts, especially. So Avengers are not that much seen often in those hilly areas. So you might get parts of Bullet, but not Avenger. Yeah.
And have you done night rides?
I avoid night rides when I'm doing solo. One of the reasons being, when you're riding in the night, you have the light really hitting onto you from the other side, especially a lot of people who go on high beams. That really spoils your eye and the vision, and there's too much of darkness. So I try to reach places before sundown.
Just another question. Is there any situation that you had faced where you felt really scared during a ride or something?
Oh yeah, lot of them. Lot of them, actually.
Which is the most haunting one incident that you could share with us?
As I was just saying, you know, I avoid night rides. I have like a list of incidences why I took this decision. So once we were traveling from Bangalore to Kanyakumari, and it was a group. So usually group rides, you know, you end up taking a lot of breaks. A lot of short breaks are there. Your lunch breaks, are there, which I usually don't go for long when I'm solo. So we were at Madurai about like 5 o'clock in the evening. So when I called my dad did tell me to like just break it down for the day and leave early in the morning. But none of my biker's friends listened to me because I was the youngest, and they said, maybe she's telling it because she's sleepy. But I usually don't get sleep when I'm actually on the bike. Even though in the middle of the night, you just wake me up and say, let's go on a ride. I'm like full wide eyes open. I stop, I feel sleepy. So we are going on the way. And I think somewhere about 2 o'clock, and we had not yet reached Kanyakumari. A lot of my friends are like, you know, drozing off. You're stopping in between. We are like putting water on our faces. And there was one point of time where one of our riders, she was like going to the side. She was in front of me. She was leading. I honked at her. She came back to the center. So this happened 2-3 times. So I went next to her and I saw her eyes are like closing. She's drowsing. So I'm like, I honked loudly. I said, put the bike to the side. I said, please go back and sit with somebody. Let anybody else take over. That was really scary. I mean, even she had a pillion with her and she was going off the road. I don't know if I had not stopped her, at what point of time she would have, I don't know, realized that she's falling asleep and she would have stopped or not. Along with along with it, I'll tell you, this was a little haunting thing happened on the same day. I don't know if I was hallucinating, which I don't think so. I would be, because again, when I'm on my bike, I have like full conscious. I'm very conscious about my surroundings. I was taking a right turn. So there was a lot of these reflectors hitting me. I remember taking a right curve on a flyover, and I could see like an image flying next to me, like a very blurry, small image next to me. I was not able to figure out what it was. Probably.
Ghost.
Yeah. It came with me for about like a kilometer or so, and it went away. As in, maybe it said I moved on. So this happened, although I didn't tell any of my friends at that point of time, because anyway, we were like there in the middle of the night and I didn't want to freak anybody out. So after we finished all the rides, we came back to our houses. I told guys, you know what I experienced. This happened. And I'm like, okay, we're not riding at 4 o'clock in the night like that ever again.
If I were to be in that situation, I would have just turned the bike and made it way all the way back to Chamundi Hills and like, God, save me from this. So anyways, to the next question, you women rally biking for a concept, right? Basically, when you go for rides, you also have a concept where you spread awareness.
Yeah.
So how did you meet these people and how did this awareness program start? So I remember watching one of your interview footages of News 9, I think of Nandi Hills.
Yeah.
So what was the message behind that ride that day?
So I think it was either Republic Day or Independence Day ride, as I remember. So that was basically how we women are equal to men. Although I don't really stand by that statement a lot. But yeah, it's like we women are actually coming up in biking. We are no less than any man out there. That was the main statement behind that ride. But we usually come across each other. Okay, you'll not believe. Like, you know how guys talk, women follow them down and ask their numbers. I have done that as a girl to other girls. Who, when I see a girl on a bike, I go behind them, I stop them, I ask their number to ask them to join for my rides. Because there are so many girls out there, and I really feel happy when I ride with one, because you can connect the problems, especially that we face as women bikers, that you cannot talk it all with a man. You're like, it's fine. You know, it's just time. Hota hai sabke saath hai. Yeah, that's how we communicate and that's how we call out for rides. We wear saris and ride out, showing that we can be as feminine as we are and at the same time masculine as well by riding a bike.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Was it comfortable though?
Was it what?
Comfortable wearing sari and...
Oh yeah, actually I feel very, very comfortable because one of the reasons being my bike is short, so the sari sits pretty well on me. But yeah, and I'm very used to riding bike in heels. So that's one of my plus points. But the other girls, they usually end up wearing a dhoti kind of sari.
Yeah, but please wear gears.
As always, you will not see me without helmet.
That's great. Moving on to the thing about yoga. What interested you into yoga?
Actually, it was, I would say yoga was like a destiny to me because I did not choose the path of yoga at all. I would say yoga chose me. I was like 4 years old when I first started yoga. I used to like do it with my mom at home. And when I was in my kindergarten, we used to get a teacher. So they saw me performing and they were very impressed. And they spoke to my mom telling, put her into our class.
Wow.
Because she's doing really well. So that's how this yoga thing started. And the first time they sent me to a competition for state level and I won first. So that's the way the yoga journey started. I mean, I wouldn't like just praise myself, but I was like really like crazy yoga girl back in my childhood. So that went on. I competed in different state levels. I went into national, ran international.
Whoa.
So I won bronze when I was in, I was 9 years old. So I represented India at Portugal. So that's how it like a hobby turned. So yeah, I chose it to be my yoga field as profession. So that's how it happened.
How about mixing yoga with bike?
Dude, that's
I do that.
That's a risk. You are promoting the wrong message out here.
A new thing, I'm telling you.
Please
no. Yeah, no. I wouldn't want to use a yoga mat on the bike, but yeah, maybe next to the bike. because a lot of asanas are there which will help a biker for like back pain. You have your neck pain when you're riding, especially as one of you is a KTM rider, so your angle is a little different, so that will give a little strain on your neck and back, which on long rides is not a good position, comfortable to be riding in.
That's really amazing. So how did you come up with the concept of mixing contemporary yoga and contemporary dance and yoga? How did you come up with that?
In my school days, school time, we used to have school days. So over there, once my teacher, she made me do yoga with music. As in, music was just going on in the side, and she made me do different asanas. So that I started practicing it in my everyday life. I would just put the music whichever I would like and do it. So along with it, I started just giving, contemporary dance moves. I used to learn salsa before. So I was just giving dance moves. And so yoga became like a link, like one asana to the other, which also had dance moves in it. And when I saw these contemporary dance videos, there were a lot of dance poses which are very similar to yoga poses. So I was like, it was just for my fun I was doing. So one day I was like, okay, maybe I can do a video out of it. Like, so I performed at one of my dance school shows. So that's how this contemporary yoga came into my mind.
I mean, that video was really amazing. We just went through it and we were like, how do people get so creative even with yoga?
Yeah, I feel it was a form of expression, like yoga and dance coming together with music. So that there are three different art forms in it.
And that's too, it was in rhythm, it was in sync with the music as well. That was the best part. So we will be right back after a break. Do stay in. We are in conversation with Kanchana.
Like this Sochcast? Tune in for more with the Sochcast app from the Google Play Store.
Welcome back to the Reality Talk Show. We are in conversation with Kanchana. And now for the interesting session, we are going to ask a few questions. We could say your friends and fans have asked you on Instagram.
Okay.
The first question for you is from Aditya01. The question is, what is your future goal?
My future goal, I want to open a dog shelter. Not like just a dog, the animal shelter, like have a lot of rescue animals out there. That would be my like a little far future goal, but my short future goal was actually like a cross-country ride, which can't happen right now, so I'm really, really sad about it.
The next question is, when are you going to try Kalaripayattu? Oh my god, I can't pronounce this. I hope I'm right.
Yeah, Kalaripayattu is like a very ancient dance come like martial art come like a warrior kind of a dance form. Which has a lot of yoga moves in it. It includes a lot of yoga stuff in it. It's a very fierce thing. It is beautiful form. I hope I can learn soon. There is a guy in Kerala who keeps calling me to his institution to come and learn. I hope I get time after maybe we have a vaccination for COVID-19 and then I can go and learn. But yeah, it's a beautiful dance form. And these days, even a lot of girls have started learning it. Yeah.
The next question is, outside of India, which country would you choose to bike in and why?
Okay, so number one, I would actually say Italy, because in Italy you have these towns called as ghost towns. So they desert the entire town and they go away. And I would love to be the only one riding in those towns.
That's way into ghost.
No. I hope I'll be not meeting anybody over there. I don't date ghosts.
All right. The next one, the person says, proud of you for what you are. What keeps you going?
Okay. Thank you so much. What keeps me going is the feeling that you get on the bike, and the feeling what I have on my yoga mat is the same. I have peace, I have smile, and the kind of, the self-talk that you get on your bike, I don't think so. That connection what you get, you're going to get anywhere else. So every time I'm on a bike, I forget everything else apart from like me and my soul. It's like I'm connected to my soul, which I can feel. So that is what keeps me going.
Before wrapping up the show, if there is one message that you would love to give to your audience, what would it be?
Number one, start doing yoga because you're going to get a lot of immunity. You don't have to worry about if it's COVID-19 or like 20. And also, girls out there who are, you know, thinking about learning bike or haven't thought about it yet, then go start thinking, start learning, because it's an amazing feeling and the kind of freedom what you get on the bike. Trust me, you are going to love it. And for guys, do encourage other women to ride. Help them out if you can on teaching them how to ride. And also, it's okay to give a little, you know, push and limelight to women bikers out there because we deserve it.
That's really great, actually. Men out there, do support women in biking and do not say bike is a masculine thing. If we hear that, we are going to trash you.
I taught my sister how to ride a bike.
Yes, I would want to like pink flame their bike if I hear that.
That's really nice. So if you guys want to ask Kanchana more, you can follow her on Instagram. Her ID is Kanchana Ganga. All right. So thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Reality Talk Show. We will be back again with another episode with another awesome interview. Stay tuned, stay safe, be awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kanchana.
No, thank you so much for having me.
To a lot of women, please keep doing it.
Yeah, thank you. I hope so.